This is a sermon given at St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas. Visit our website at saintdave.org.
Well, good morning. The gospel lesson this morning invites us to consider how we respond when we're presented with something that's troubling or challenging or hard to understand. How do we respond when we're frightened or afraid to ask follow-up questions? This morning in the Gospel of Mark, we hear the second foretelling of Jesus' betrayal and death and resurrection. Between this Sunday's telling of this and this Sunday's, two notable events have also occurred. Peter, James, and John went up on the mountain where they witnessed Jesus' transfiguration, and Jesus healed a boy who was possessed by an impure spirit. The disciples continue to have a front row seat to these amazing and glorious displays of Jesus' power and authority. So I don't know that we should be surprised that they fail to understand or to comprehend how the Messiah can be betrayed into human hands and killed. Things are not turning out as they had hoped. The role of the promised Messiah is something different than what they expected. We're told that they did not understand what Jesus meant, and they were afraid to ask for more detail or for an explanation. And we aren't told, and we don't know if they were afraid because they didn't want to admit their lack of understanding. Perhaps they were worried that they might not like the answer they receive if they ask a question, or maybe there was some other reason. But we are told that in their lack of understanding and in their fear, they begin to argue amongst themselves about who is the greatest. They stop listening. They stop being curious, and they start arguing. So I asked you earlier to think about how you respond in the face of confusion or fear. I'm sure you had a variety of answers, but it's certain that one thing we are good at as human beings is arguing over who is greatest, over who holds or wields the power. And an election year, after all, is probably the single greatest reminder of our ability as humans to distract ourselves from what is important or from what we fear by arguing over who is the greatest. We can argue over who's the better candidate, or which is the most faithful political party, while millions of Americans suffer from poverty and inadequate access to health care and countless other issues. We can argue amongst ourselves over pronouns and restrooms and medical care for trans people, while our transgender siblings suffer the horrible consequences of a world that doesn't provide them love and care and acceptance. Or we can argue over camping resolutions and sidewalks, while thousands of our neighbors go without adequate mental health and related treatments and assistance. Even in the church, we can argue about music styles, over who belongs in worship, when there are countless people who've been hurt or traumatized in the name of the church. We could be in the presence of God, quite literally experiencing the Holy Spirit. But because we are challenged by what we have seen, we might find ourselves arguing over the powers of the world. The list or the examples could go on and on, but are we brave enough to admit that our arguing and our disagreements over power could be caused by our fear and by our misunderstanding of the kingdom of God? We'd certainly be in good company right alongside the disciples if we did. Certainly, while we argue and disagree, the pain and the trauma and the needs of the world go unmet. We withhold questions at our own peril. Fear and a lack of understanding and a lack of curiosity prohibit us from fully experiencing the kingdom of God. When we're afraid or when we have questions, we must remember that this is our table. This is where we come, where we're meant to come for renewal, and for fellowship and for strength, but it should also be a place where we can bring our fear and our questions, a place where we bring our curiosity and our desire to learn and to understand. And we may not always find the answers, and many times what we do find may be quite different than what we hoped or what we expected. But we can rest in the promise that community and the presence of the divine are found in our fellowship, in our sharing of the body and blood, and in our search together for understanding. Relationships and community and knowledge come from questions and curiosity, arguing and power struggles and suffering come from fear and misunderstanding and confusion. So I want to end by encouraging your questions and your curiosity. When you find yourselves in the midst of an argument about power or control, take a moment to explore what fear or what misunderstanding might be behind the issue. What questions aren't being asked? What are we failing to grasp about the kingdom of God? The clergy and all of us at St. David's want to encourage and foster your questions and your curiosity. This is the table where love and understanding and where difficult and holy conversations are welcomed. This is where we are meant to bring our wonder and our questions and our struggles. So I implore you to please ask your questions. Email them to me or to the other clergy. Ask them in Sumner's Hall as you eat breakfast, or ask them in other conversations or in Bible study. Perhaps even ask those around you what questions they are struggling with. What questions are they afraid to ask? And we may not always have the answers, but that shouldn't stop us from talking about them and from seeking a deeper understanding. Curiosity and questions and conversations held in community are what drive out fear and discord and arguments over power and greatness. So what questions do you have? I hope to hear them. Amen.
You can find more lectures and sermons on iTunes by searching for St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas, or visit our website at saintdave.org and click on the podcast button.